Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Johnson and Kinect in the backfield. Williams, pressure coming late, and down he goes. Brendan Schooler got there. Roshon Johnson in the backfield. Here comes pressure from Pettis, and down goes Williams again. The sixth sack of the day for New England. It's fourth down.
That was indeed the sixth sack of the day of nine total from the Patriots defense. And this is the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show on WEEI. Six Rings postgame show is brought to you by McFarlane Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlaneEnergy.com. The defense was one of the stories of the game, and I did want to point out, I got a little snarky take here, I think if Brendan Schooler had a sack and was playing spy against Caleb Williams under the Bill Belichick era, we would just be bowing down at the altar of Bill Belichick, the hoodie, the genius, and Bill we trust, when in fact, this is a strong differentiation, because Brendan Schooler was a special teamer under Bill Belichick. Matthew Slater was a special teamer under Bill Belichick. They spent the bulk of their summer practice time on a separate field, running in circles and picking up towels off the ground and catching tennis balls and blocking soccer balls. They were specialists, for a lack of a better term. They were like a kicker, a punter, and a long snapper. Now, this summer, Brendan Schooler did very little of that in front of my eyeballs. He was with the team. He was doing things on defense. He was getting reps in the defensive backfield. Some of us actually questioning it. Some of us who believe he is really good on special teams and maybe could be the next Matthew Slater wondered, was this a good idea? Were you wasting time that could have been used to hone his true skills the way Matthew Slater did? Come to find out, half a season later, Brendan Schooler is on a football field helping you win a football game with contributions on the defensive side of the ball. Gerard Mayo, I tip my hat to you and say, good job, coach, because, again, if Bill Belichick did that, it'd be genius. It would be absolute genius.
He prepares for things that no one else thinks of and sees. He's got a special team of playing spy on defense.
So I'm going to treat it the same way. DeMarcus Covington and Gerard Mayo, you deserve an attaboy for Brendan Schooler making plays on defense, John Lyons.
Yeah, and 1 month ago tomorrow, Brendan Schooler signed a 3-year contract extension with the Patriots. So
who knew it was to play defense? His agent must be like, whoa. You guys didn't say he was going to be playing a lot of defense. The numbers should go up a little.
And look, Schooler is such a great athlete that for that specific role of let's have him spy on Caleb Williams, he's one of the few guys the Patriots have. And originally, this package, and I think it was Schooler that said it after the game, was something the Patriots put in for Jonathan Jones that they've used in the past under Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And maybe now they're at the point where they've used Schooler as a little bit of a better athlete than John Jones or whatever the case may be, or because just the depth issue they have. But to put Schooler in that role to say, hey, you're going to spy on Caleb Williams and there's going to be times you are going to have to be the better athlete than the number one overall pick in the draft. And to his credit, look, hey, sack, tackle for loss, he did what he needed to do. He didn't make any catastrophic mistakes, which, let's be honest, when you put a special teamer in a role on offense or defense, the first thing you look for is, can he just not make any catastrophic mistakes? And
right,
he didn't. And on top of it, he made some nice plays.
And in some ways, I love the idea. It's sort of like when they had Matthew Slater as the deep guy in victory formation. Yeah, he's the best tackler on the team. If all hell breaks loose, he is the guy I want chasing it or in the open field trying to make a tackle. And in some ways, it's a mirror image job for Brendan Schooler in this situation. And the Longhorn package, I think they called it, Gerard Mayo, he's definitely fast. He's definitely athletic. And I like it, especially where
they
are. We
know he can tackle.
We know he can tackle, and especially where they are with no Kyle Duggar and no Jabril Peppers, and they're kind of depth-wise down there a little bit in the middle of the back end of the defense, and even linebacker without Bentley and some of those guys. So if you're putting your best tacklers and your best defenders on the field, I guess Brendan Schooler's probably in that conversation for that kind of a role. I'm not sure I want him, you know, covering receivers over the middle and doing different things that might be a little beyond his experience and capabilities, but Gerard Mayo and DeMarcus Covington, I think, deserve a little props for that package, that Longhorn package. And it worked a couple times. They had some success with it. He got a sack. He ran Caleb Williams out of bounds. Now, I will say, Caleb Williams sucked.
quite honestly, today. He was a terrible quarterback today for most of the game. And if you're in Chicago, I said pregame. They asked me, you know, looking back on it, how would you reconfigure the draft knowing now what you know? I think Drake May's the number one pick, and I know I'm being a homer there.
Maybe Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden Daniels, there's still questions. I think Drake May has dealt with more crap. He's like Andy Dufresne. He's been crawling through 300 yards of crap for the bulk of his rookie season, and he has handled it as well as anyone could. I think when he gets talent around, you give him a Terry McLaurin, you give him a Cliff Kingsbury offense, I think Drake May'd be cooking right now. And I think in Chicago, Caleb Williams, I think the warts and concerns that people saw, he's physically gifted. He's probably the most physically gifted of the trio. But it's not all physical. Like, leadership is a huge part of the quarterback position, and I think there are some major concerns with what's going on there with his ego.
I have a larger point that I've been talking about for a while, but, and not just me, but a lot of the great quarterbacks in the NFL right now, either in college or in their rookie year, dealt with some significant level of adversity, right? Like, Joe Burrow had to transfer schools in college. Mahomes, they thought he was overdrafted. Allen didn't play well his rookie year. Lamar Jackson, some people even thought he should be a receiver, right, his rookie year. So a lot of those guys have. And you look at these three guys that have been drafted. Jaden Daniels, and this is to Washington's credit, he really hasn't had to deal with much adversity, but he had to transfer schools in college, and he overcame that. Drake May's had to deal with a lot. And he had to deal with some at UNC. They switched offensive staffs between, I think, his second and third year there. But now he's had to deal with a lot this year, and he's handled it, I think, to your point, pretty well. Whereas Caleb Williams didn't really have to deal with much in college. He was kind of the anointed one all along, got to play for Lincoln Riley. I don't think it's a coincidence that USC team played better in the bowl game without him than with him. A little bit. But now he comes to Chicago, and it's not a good situation. Like, it's a good roster, but the situation as a whole isn't great, and it feels like, and I'm not telling you he's been terrible, but it doesn't feel like he's handling some of the issues they have as well as Drake May's handling them here.
And I think there's value to that. You know, I think
there's a lot of value to it.
When things get easier for Drake May on the field in terms of personnel and talent around him and maybe scheme, I think that will be valuable as he finds things easier, the sledding a little easier. So now we're going to go out to Chicago. We're going to check in with Dub Bears, with Dub Man, who's usually doing this job, Nick Fitzy Stevens, joining us from the Windy City, where he saw an excited son of his watch Drake May walk off the field a winner for the first time. How was the experience, Nick Fitzy Stevens?
I got to tell you, Andy Hart, hey, John Lyons, how are you guys? The Pats beat the Bears. I apologize for the siren in the background. Couldn't really talk to you guys earlier walking out of the stadium, but now we are 25 stories over Grant Park, looking out at beautiful Lake Michigan, enjoying a post-game beverage. And Andy, as you full well know, we both appreciate the youth sports and the professional sports, and to go from my kid participating in a flag football semifinal Friday night and absolutely running truck over the other team and then flying out to Chicago. And in his first game ever as a Patriots fan, seeing Drake May beat Caleb Williams at Soldier Field, I can tell you, man, as a dad, just straight up as a dad, it doesn't get better than this. That said, holy smokes, those are two super mediocre football teams desperately in need of new offensive coordinators to give each team a true north. Because, man, if you that siren's really loud, I apologize.
Is your building burning down? Should we be concerned about your safety right now?
Guys, this is the end for me. It's been really fun.
I don't care about you. Get your kid out.
I just thought the siren was carrying away the Chicago Bears offense, but I don't know.
The last two people I was hoping to talk to in my time on Earth would be John Lyons and Andy Hart. It's been a good run, guys. I'll tell you this straight up. It would have been difficult to call you guys walking out of the stadium because I was drowned out by three separate chants. One, Waldron sucks.
Oh, we don't talk about two, that here. This is a Waldron safe zone.
I know this is a Waldron Appreciation Society, Andy, but that guy is doing a whole lot of nothing with a very lot. And if you put Drake May on the Chicago Bears roster right now, that team cooks. Two, Fire Eberflus, which is kind of, that's a difficult name to say in a chant. Fire Eberflus, this got awkward. And then there was an F Green Bay chant that broke out, which is interesting to hear that the Bears have their version of, I didn't realize what Chicago's version of Yankees suck was, and apparently it's F Green Bay. So that made the that rather placated the masses of the Bears fans. But the whole game was like, maybe you guys have heard from some fans that have called in that we either watched from home or that were out this way, because it was a, I'd say probably fans there at the stadium, despite the incredible prices to get in. That is a directionless team. That is a team that has all of this talent and has no identity, no direction. They cannot figure out if they want to be a big fly. I heard you guys talking about Lincoln Riley's offense and how Caleb Williams was a defer the profit and go for the big payday kind of quarterback in college. They can't figure out if they want to run, throw short, throw long. They just kind of call random plays. Nothing is good. Their offensive line actually makes the Patriots' offensive line look like the 2018 line. 9 sacks on the day, Mrs. Bueller. They are a brutal operation right now, and their fans were just lulled into a sense of, I think apathy is the word of the day, surprisingly, for such a sports-rich and culturally diverse city and fan base as the Bears.
Fitzy, I want to ask you about something I noticed on TV, and it felt like the Patriots as a whole, they were playing just with more speed, with more edge to their game. It felt like, and I know this is tough to quantify, but just that they were more engaged and they wanted it more. Now, you being there in the stadium,
yep.
I know you did it feel that way to you there?
John, 1,010%. This felt like going to... from the old tailgate traveling days where I'd go to like places like Cleveland, the fans were all fired up and they'd get in the stadium and like up to 12:59, it was like, we got this. And then kickoff, it was like, nope, that's the end of it. That was our fun. The Bears fans walked into the stadium today with a sense of resignation almost. And I kept saying to them, like, guys, we're the 2-7 team. We're at the top of Tankathon. Like, the Patriots are right now the guys that have the number one draft pick. You guys should be fired up. Like, a couple wins, get this offense right with all the talent you guys have. And then that same feeling of dread felt like it just went over that alien ship little crest that they built into Soldier Field, John, and it went right down onto the field. There was no energy at kickoff. Even the flyover, people were like, all right, it's a couple helicopters, yay. And all game long, the team seemed like they were resigned to having this sort of downtrodden effort and not really knowing what to do. Whereas, like, the pass came out, there were bigger cheers when they came out of the tunnel. When they took the field, they were definitely, like, if the Bears were in third gear, the Pats were in fifth the whole game. The defense was super aggressive. And even though Drake May only had, 180 yards passing, I'm not exactly sure on the day, they looked far more decisive on offense. And they were the more aggressive team right from the jump, John. So what you saw on television, you could see in the stadium, and you could also tangibly feel it from 9 a.m. all the way till the final whistle.
Fitzy, you know I'm an expert on predicting teams to not win games. Well, I am predicting that the Bears will not win another game this season. They have a hellacious schedule, and I think I think they're falling apart.
Can I tell my friend that I went with, because he said the same thing walking out. He said, absolutely, we're going to compete with you in the Tankathon now.
Absolutely. They are going to be picking near the Patriots. They are going to have very similar records at the end of the season. They have a very difficult schedule. The one thing they may benefit from is if they fire Eberflus and get that little one-game bump where they steal a victory somewhere. But they're a mess. They had terrible body language. I don't know how much of that you could see on, you know, in person versus... It's awful. I've never seen anything like it. It starts with the quarterback, the wide receivers, the coaches, the sideline. That is a that's a team, to steal a phrase from friend Evan Lazar. Actually, he's more of a friend of me. He doesn't really like me. To steal a phrase from Evan Lazar, they are teetering on a mutiny in Chicago. And I think that makes this victory feel even better because, you know, it's one of those like, my life kind of sucks, but it's not as bad as that guy's over there. He's got it worse. Like, his wife is a bigger you-know-what, and, like, he has a crappier car, and his dinner's not as good.
What's wrong with Mrs. You-know-what? She's a perfectly nice person, and she's always happy to host us after a game on Friday. Andy, I just wanted to ask you guys, even before you get to the end of this, what's been the general consensus through the first hour of Patriots fans? Because to a fan, there was not a single, and Tua fan is also, like, there's a couple of those in Miami, but I digress. Play the rim shot later, Braverman. Shut up.
Terrible. That was terrible.
Don't worry about it.
I'm playing the cricket slicker. That ain't a rim shot.
We need that siren to come
here.
Back.
Go ahead.
That was a bomb of a joke.
So I'm to a fan out here. Every Patriots fan was like, ah, the hell with the draft pick. Like, we beat the Packers. Like,
okay, so Fitzy is gone.
It was so good that we lost him.
Yeah, it was so bad somebody put him out of his misery and just beat him over the back of the head.
Well, we still never did get an explanation what those sirens were for.
We didn't, and he didn't seem to be alarmed, so I guess I wasn't going to be, but when I'm in a higher... Didn't he say he was on the 25th floor? If I'm on the 25th floor and I hear a lot of sirens, I'm wondering, are one of the floors beneath me burning, and do I need to get the hell out of here? I had this uncle that bought a house, an apartment condo thing in the greater D.C. area once, and you know how he decided what level he would go up to? He called the fire department and said, what level does your ladder truck reach? Because I'm not going any higher than that. And I was like, that's good thinking.
You know what? That's somebody playing chess, not checkers
Damn right. Just that's like Gerard Mayo with Brendan Schooler. But that's Fitzy. Nick Fitzy Stevens, usually in the host one role here on the Patriots Six Rings postgame show on WEEI. We are enjoying the aftermath of another victory. We are a little bit enjoying the fact that the Bears might be a bigger mess than the Patriots, and I don't think anybody saw that coming entering the season. That's a Bears team. Some people had, could they sneak into a playoff? Could they be a 500
team? Some people had them
in
the NFC Championship game.
Well, guess what? They will not be in the NFC Championship game. They will not be in the playoffs. They will not have the same head coach heading into next season, and they may not win another football game. In fact, there is an outside chance that they pick higher in the 2025 NFL draft than your New England Patriots. That is the only downside right now, is that the Patriots are sliding down the draft board a little bit, but I'm okay with that because I do feel some momentum building with Drake May and this team and the structure of this team. And if you can start to salvage some of these young players, guys like Jalen Polk, Kayshon Booty, or Boutte, or whatever the hell the announcers say. I don't even know. I'm starting to question. I don't have any idea. Anyway, if you can salvage some of those guys and start to build around Drake May, there's some fun in the next few months here leading into an offseason that could be one of the most critical offseasons in Patriots history. He is John Lyons. I'm Andy Jumbo Hart. This is the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show. Patriots 19, Bears 3. And Joe Braverman is about to join us. You're going to hear him tell you everything that's happening in the world of Boston sports, as well as the rest of the NFL in what's trending right now.
It was a big step for Drake. He was frustrated with how practice went, didn't think they were as locked in as they needed to be. So he asked Alex Van Pelt if he could address the offense for the first time. Alex said, the floor is yours. He said, first time he got in front of the offense. Alex said, great response. Everyone really reacted well to it. Alex loved it, saying, we need that leadership from him.
That was a discussion of Drake May's leadership from the Fox broadcast today. This is the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show on WEEI. I am Andy Jumbo Hart alongside John Lyons, filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens, who needs a new cell phone because we talked to him just before the break, and he was midpoint, and then he just disappeared, and he was gone forever. So I guess we'll never know where he was going, but quite honestly, I don't always know where he's going, even when he's in studio with me. So no change. But Drake May, I know where he's going. He's going to the top of the leadership depth chart with the New England Patriots. And I think that is maybe the best part of what he's done, honestly, so far in his short time in New England. He has taken on a growing role in this locker room, to the point where now he is indeed addressing the entire football team when he doesn't think preparations are good enough or practice reps are good enough. And I think that's a tough thing to do sometimes as a rookie quarterback, especially one who wasn't anointed. He was not made a captain. He was not given the starting job right out the gates like some of the other first-round picks, rookie quarterbacks. He was the backup to start the year. He was deferential at times in July and August, to the point where it's behind the scenes, the team was asking him to maybe be a little bit more aggressive in his leadership and his competing with Jacoby Brissett. And I get that, but I also think if I'm the Patriots right now, and I know this is fast, he's five starts into his NFL career, I'm quite comfortable with the leader that is Drake May. And I think he's done everything really well, but also really naturally, because to me, leadership has to be natural, because otherwise players see through it, players rip it apart, it falls flat. And I think it's great to hear that he took on a bigger leadership role this week, and I'm not surprised they went out and won a football game after that.
Yeah, and it's the old saying, right? Rookies should be seen and not heard. We've heard that for years, but yep. when you're the starting quarterback, that's not an option, right? You can't be just seen and not heard. You have to be heard as well. But I think the fact that they followed it with a win is important, right? It's one thing to talk to the team and say, hey, guys, we had a bad Wednesday practice. We need to be better. We have to do X, Y, and Z better than before. And if you follow that up and you play poorly against the Bears and lose, well, it doesn't really resonate the same way. And when you look at his development, even if you take a 10,000-foot view, when he was drafted, what are some of the things we said? Well, okay, he's got to grow into a leadership role. Feels like he is. His feet, I think that has gotten a little bit better. The under-center exchanges have gotten a little bit better. Coming off from his second to third read, I think that's something is still not there yet. He's working on. That's getting better. But those are some things you looked at and said, hey, this is where he's at in late April, early May. Can he improve on those things? And I feel like the player that he is today is better than he was in training camp, better than he was a month ago, maybe even better than he was 2 weeks ago. So, like, we're not sitting here saying he's an elite quarterback already, but I think the encouraging thing is the things that we had questions about when he was drafted and maybe in training camp as well, setting protections out of empty was a big one I kept watching in training camp. He's gotten a little bit better at a lot of those things, and it feels like if you're the Patriots, that's going to be a really encouraging thing for you because, look, you're not going to make the playoffs, you're not going to win a ton of games, but if you can walk away from this season feeling good about Jerod Mayo as your head coach and feeling good about Drake Maye as your quarterback, that's a huge win for you moving forward as you try to build this thing.
And I think the biggest thing that jumps out to me is how genuine he comes off as a leader, as a teammate, as a rookie, as a quarterback. There doesn't seem to be any fakeness to it, any attempt to be a leader, any attempt to be, oh, what I think that coach wants me to be or what that veteran thinks I should be. I see Drake Maye being Drake Maye, who obviously was a high school quarterback, which means, you know, you're the leader of that team. Then he goes to North Carolina. He's their quarterback. He's their leader for a couple years. We heard the Patriots, Elliott Wolf and company, say part of what they liked about him was that last year there were struggles, and a lot of media tried to get him to question his line, question his coaching, question his scheme, question his weapons. He wouldn't take the bait. He wouldn't go down that road. And I think you're seeing what kind of guy he is. But let's actually go hear from Drake Maye. He was asked about this stepping up this week to address the football team and kind of why he felt the need to do that and how he went about that, and this was his answer.
You asked AVP if you could address the offense because you were a little bit frustrated with what you were seeing in practice. What exactly were you seeing that made you compelled to say something?
Yeah, I think just little things. I think just taking, you know, that next step is me being the quarterback and, you know, in the offensive meeting room of, you know, these little things that are adding up and hurting us in practice that are leading to game day. I think, you know, last week I mentioned we had, you know, a second and third down in the 2-minute drill that we ran it and we couldn't pick up 1 yard. You know, little things like that, just little detailed and focus. And I think sometimes you get into practice mode where you're just running plays and not really tuned in and trying to execute, you know, specific plays. You're trying to just get in a groove of, hey, we're just running plays out here just for nothing. And just really try to, you know, challenge those guys and challenge myself to take each play and, you know that, you know, when the game comes and this play is called, you know, it matters. You know, there's so many times, you know, throughout the, you know, the game, you see that how much that play can impact the turnout of the game. So I was just trying to get through to them and probably fumbled some words trying to do it, but I think those guys respected it.
That was my favorite part of it. Probably some fumbled some words when I did it, but I think they respected it. He's not trying to be the perfect leader. He's not trying to say the perfect thing. He's trying to say what Drake Maye thinks and what Drake Maye thinks needs to be said at this time. And I love that. I love that genuine nature. And I do think, I know he avoids it because I think as a quarterback it's a little different. I do think there is some Rob Gronkowski to his mentality in that he's so genuine. He really, I don't even know if he knows he doesn't care. I don't think he knows, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't care what I think. He doesn't care what John Lyons think. He doesn't care what Joe Braverman or Nick Fitzy Stevens thinks. He's going to do what he thinks is right for himself, for his team, to go win games, to be the leader he can be. And I think there is something very empowering. There's something very empowering in that. And I'm not saying he's going to jump out of helicopters like Gronk did on the Fox pregame show today or anything like that down the road or smash heads with his brothers, but he does come from that competitive family. He's talked about that. I think he brought it up tonight in the postgame, like getting dunked on the Nerf hoop and bouncing back from that and learning, you know, sort of to prepare as a competitor, even when you didn't know you were preparing to be a great competitor in the family dynamic, in with your brothers. And so Let me put this into a question that we kind of glossed over earlier. Am I crazy to think the Patriots might have gotten the best quarterback out of the top three picks in the NFL draft?
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, I don't think we have enough evidence to make that judgment yet. Obviously, it's still so early. And
sure.
Jaden Daniels is on his way to winning Rookie of the Year. He's been awesome. But I think you can walk away from this game today saying, wow, I feel better about Drake May than I do about Caleb Williams, like
absolutely,
at a bare minimum. So in,
I see what you did there. A bare minimum.
There you go, right? And
Chicago,
I feel better
bare minimum
about Drake May than I do Bo Nix, right? And
yep,
like, that's the thing. So Jaden Daniels, and there's two moments today, by the way. So, like, and again, Jaden Daniels on his way to winning Rookie of the Year. But Patriots go 3-0 on their first series.
I'm not giving up on that, by the way. A lot of football left to be played. We'll see.
All right.
He lost today. Who won today? Who lost today?
Yeah.
Who won today? Who lost today? Drake May won.
Jaden
Daniels lost. Those are the facts, ladies and gentlemen.
Not opinion. Facts.
Nope. That's right.
So the first moment to me, right, you go 3-0 on your first drive, and let's not forget that first drive, they look bad. Remember Mike Onwenu got smoked on that one block, right? It didn't look good. And then on the first play of the next drive is that 28-yard pass down the sideline to Hooper in a tight window. Sets,
beauty.
Which, first of all, phenomenal pass, phenomenal catch, sets them up already basically on the edge of field goal range. They end up getting a field goal. So, okay, hey, he bounced back from that first series. Then right after it, he throws that interception, which I don't think was a throwaway either. I think it was a bad throw and bad decision. And then they punt, and things aren't looking good, right? It's only 3-0. You have an interception, a 3-and-out punt. So how does he respond to that? Goes 5-for-5 on the next drive. They score a touchdown, and they go up 10-3. And I think that, to me, again, two instances where bad things happened, and he and the offense as a whole, but led by him, responded and put points on the board. And I think, again, that's something that, not to name any names, but maybe the previous couple quarterbacks, I don't think you would have got that response, at least not on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. His toughness, his competitive nature, and that all sort of is undershadowed by his pure physical ability, that he's a big athletic kid who can make all the throws. You know, if I were going to nitpick, one thing that I think continues to be a little bit of an issue is his low release, that little weird kind of 7/8 release thing. He had a ball batted again today. I think batted passes are going to be an issue at times against good defensive lines.
I think step into the deep ball a little bit more too.
Yeah, you
step. He underthrew the interception and the Titans game, and he underthrew one today that could have been picked and wasn't.
You know who steps into balls? People that trust their offensive line. It's a
what
lot
about the
to
fact that he went?
I think that's a fair point, Andy.
What about the fact that he went left-handed on an incompletion?
Well, those are the exciting, fun plays that I truly do love. Even the throw to KJ Osborne
for KC. Did you see that?
He's a great young quarterback. He's fun. And people get mad at me when I say he's brought back fun to the quarterback position. Because they're like, oh, what? They were close to making the playoffs. They were this. They haven't been fun at the quarterback position since Tom Brady. Mac Jones at his best was never fun. A
couple games of Cam Newton were fun.
The first two games of Cam Newton were basically fun, but they were misleading, false confidence fun,
fake fun
stuff. Yeah, fake fun.
Fraud fun.
Yeah, that was there was nothing real there. There
Look,
was nothing
Andy, you said it. You said it before the season even began.
Fun suck is better than boring suck.
Amen, brother.
I think, to an important point of this, when we talk about Drake May talking to the team, look at the good teams in the NFL. The quarterbacks set the standard. Patrick Mahomes sets the standard in KC. Lamar Jackson sets the standard in Baltimore. Josh Allen sets the standard in Buffalo. And look, the coaches help with it too, but the quarterbacks set the standard and everybody rises to them or they don't make it in those situations. Drake May, if he can have the ability to set the standard and if he knows what it's supposed to look like, that's huge for the Patriots because there's a lot of young guys here. A lot of guys here that are going to grow into their roles as Drake May grows. So if he can set the standard and it's a high standard and he gets it, that's extremely valuable. And frankly, it's something the Patriots haven't had since Cam Newton in 2020. He just didn't have the physical skills.
John Lyons, I believe we've done, I don't even know, 10, 12 hours of radio together. Not a ton. That's the greatest thing you've ever said.
Appreciate it.
And I'm not mocking you. I'm being dead serious.
But
those guys, Josh Allen sets the standard in Buffalo because you can stuff it up your pipe if you think Sean McDermott sets the standard. He does not. Josh Allen sets the standard.
And Andy, that's not even anything against the coaches, but Andy Reid is a great coach, but Patrick Mahomes can look around and he can tell Travis Kelce, you need to be better at this.
Yep.
And there's nothing Travis Kelce can say back to him. He just needs to be. And we saw it here for 20 years, right? You had a head coach and a quarterback that set the standard. So if Drake May can be a guy, sets the standard. One of the best things to me, Andy, and this is my coach brain talking, that a coach can say about a player is he gets it. And one of the worst things he can say is he doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. And if you know, you know. But if Drake May gets it and he can set the standard, then you can be on your way to really build it, because everyone talks about culture, an actual good culture moving forward.
I think that's a great comment. Drake May sets the standard in New England. He now does moving forward, and that's the standard of a fun, competitive, athletic football team, a modern offense, a modern quarterback, and a modern football team. And honestly, that's what they want to be, right? That's the reason they hired Gerard Mayo. They wanted to turn the page. They wanted to become more modern in a lot of areas of the franchise and of the football team. And I think they thought Gerard Mayo was going to set the standard. But I think John Lyons just nailed the hell out of it here on the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show. Drake May now and for the future sets the standard in New England. And damn it, that's a good thing. We're going to keep delving into that because I think that's a really interesting idea. And it's what we talked about coming into the season. This year was about Drake May. It's still about Drake May. Now it's not a question of, is he the guy? It's how the guy develops and evolves over the second half of the season with the rest of his football team. Because I would also argue, Caleb Williams is setting the standard in Chicago. Unfortunately, that's a negative
standard.
No, but
that's the reverse of it. Like, look at, over the last 5 years, the standard Kyler Murray is set in Arizona. And I know they're better this year, but they had to write in his contract he wouldn't play too many video games.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's just one example. But look at, there's a difference. Look at Jimmy G to Brock Purdy in San Francisco. Same elite talent around him. One team iteration of it is better than the other.
Drake May is now setting the standard in New England, and the big question will be, when does that standard lead to regular wins and competing for playoffs and Super Bowls? That's a much longer-term approach. This is a shorter-term show, Six Rings and Football Things. Another hour plus here, breaking down the Patriots' 19-3 win in Chicago over the Bears. Third win of the season. Drake May walks off the field a winner. Gerard Mayo's feeling good about himself. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Do you fully believe in Drake May? Do you believe Drake May has proven that he is indeed the guy for this franchise for the next decade plus? 617-779-7937. Six Rings and Football Things, back after this.
Drake asked AVP if he could address the offense. What do you know about that, and what does that say about Drake?
Look, Drake has addressed the offense numerous times. I think it goes back to now he's starting to really take control of the offense and the team. I mean, when you go out there and you perform at a high level, that's the first step. The next step is to bring others with you, and I think he's on his way to doing that.
Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo talking about his franchise quarterback and the leadership role he is taking over with the team and took over this week in advance of a 19-3 win over the Bears in Chicago. As the Patriots get their third win of the season, they improve to 3-7 in the standings and unfortunately fall to the number 7 overall pick in next April's draft. If it were, is that how you phrase that? You know how we say if the playoffs started today.
I don't think it's today, unfortunate, so.
Oh, I think it's very unfortunate. I think it's a team that needs elite talent, and that is generally the spot where elite talent starts to fall off the board. And if they win any much more, who knows where they'll be picking. It also eliminates them from any trade opportunities in terms of high picks for quarterbacks, where now you lose the opportunity to get multiple blue chippers for a team that certainly needs elite help at tackle and wide receiver and some other spots.
Yeah, I'd rather them win 7 games, pick 11th, than win 3 and pick 4th.
Oh, I would not. I think the worst-case scenario for this team is to be near 500 and have a middling draft pick. I think that could doom the rest of the Drake May era for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I'm only, like, they have the quarterback. So you can now, through trades, free agency, and whatever draft pick you have, update the roster. What you really don't want is for that quarterback and the young guys you do have to get losing into their DNA. And if you suck this year, like if they won today, if they lost the rest of their games after this, those guys are mostly just going to know losing, and they're going to know the wrong things to do, the wrong habits to have. You already did that last year, and even the year before. I know you went 8-9, and it was better. But I would rather have the 7th, 8th, 9th pick, which you can still get a great player, you can still trade it down, you still have a high second-round pick that you can trade or use, than have the 2nd pick and be a terrible team and a bunch of guys just know losing habits, especially with a young coaching staff as well.
I got bad news for you. They're a terrible football team. So whether they won today or not, they're a terrible football team. Yeah. They just happen to win and face a terribler football team. Add an ER to the end of that. I'm not big on that. I think if you have losers on your team, they're losers whether you win games or not. And I think if you have winners on your team, they're winners whether they lose. I've watched a lot of teams.
I think that goes back to our earlier discussion about what bad organizations do. Like, that's part of it, right? They start getting excited about draft picks in early November. Like, that's what the bad organizations do. You don't want to fall into that trap. You just, like, that's what have the Jets done? What have the Browns done? What have the Cardinals done for the last 20 years just about? Get excited about draft picks in November, change coaches, change coordinators, change quarterbacks, and it just stacks on top of itself. You have the QB. This time last year, I could at least get the argument because you didn't have the QB. Now you do, so I'm against
it. You just don't have anything else. And I would argue that any of those teams that got the right players would have been fine. Like, to me, it's all about players. And that's talent, but it's also makeup. Like, the Bears may have the more talented quarterback. He looks like a loser to me, an absolute loser and a bust.
But that's a team with loser DNA. They've been bad for years.
I think if Drake May was quarterbacking that team, they'd be a good football team right now. I think the loser leading it leads to losing. You have a winner leading you now at the quarterback position. And I think you have some other winners. I don't know if all the other, like, they can win football games. I have questions as to whether Jalen Polk, K.J. Osborne, some of these guys, whether they're winners or losers. They won today. That doesn't mean they're not losers in terms of their work ethic and their mentality and their approach to the game. There's some of these guys that I think care a hell of a lot more about catching footballs and having a role than they do winning football games. I think they showed themselves some of their true colors during the losing earlier in the year. So, yeah, I firmly believe the biggest thing this team needs is more talent, and that comes in the form of elite wide receiver, elite tackle. Now, the problem with the tackle position is there may not be elite tackles if you believe the draft experts. The two best tackle prospects now apparently are going to play guard in the NFL, and there's, like, no tackle prospects in this draft.
I think that's a little overblown, but...
We'll see. I mean, we've lived that life. Isaiah Wynn was supposed to be a tackle that could play guard. Then he could stay at tackle. He stayed at tackle. And you know why he wasn't good? Because I think he falls under what I just said. The guy was a loser. I think he had a bad mentality.
Lamar Jackson instead.
Well, we went and now
that would be a fun. That'd be a fun six ring.
Losers.
Look at the 2018 and 2019 draft and see what you could have been. Lamar Jackson, Nick Chubb, A.J. Brown. You'd be a lot different.
We're not going to turn this into a rip job on Bill Belichick, the guy who built the team. Wow. John Lyons just took a turn. He wants to shred the legacy of Bill Belichick for missed draft picks.
I love Bill. I'm the biggest Bill supporter at WEEI. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah. Well, the truth is he should have probably taken those guys like Nick Chubb. Yeah. Chubb
and
was
starting
to see Sony Michel. The truth is never mean. That is actually a fact. No. It can hurt, but it's never mean. Because there's no mean intent. If you state the truth, you're not stating something to be mean. It is the truth. It's an inherent fact. Anyway, the fact is we're going back to the phone lines. 617-779-7937. Sorja in Mansfield wants to talk about the Patriots and their quarterback position. What's up, Sorja?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we today?
Good.
Really quick here, I think that the discussion you guys are having is like what a lot of fans like myself are kind of going through, whether it's like you're rooting for this team. I'm glad that we beat the Bears, but it's like, you know, is hurting us, our draft stock. And I think I kind of tend to lean towards the winning because, you know, you have the quarterback right now, right? The conventional thinking is you want to get the number one pick, so like if we were going to go for Shadur, right? I don't believe any of the draft experts who say that there's no tackles or whatever. They're the same experts that said that Bryce Young was going to be something or Jamarcus Russell, so they're all baloney, right? But what I will tell you is that I'm really encouraged by this Patriots team. I think Drake May is the best QB in this draft, and we just need to hit on this offseason. This offseason is so, so important because the needs are so there, right? You just need to beef up that offensive line, get a true number one receiver, and add a lot of depth to that defense, and we're thinking playoffs. So, I put a live bet in for the Cowboys at like plus 460. Hopefully that hits. But other than that, enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys.
Thanks, Sorja. So there was a lot to take in that call. First of all, the draft experts aren't necessarily the ones who said Jamarcus Russell was great or Bryce Young was great. You know who said that? NFL teams that drafted those guys at number one overall. So let's not blame the draft experts. And if you believe anybody, the Bryce Young one, which he, by the way, he looked a little better today, and he's on a little bit of a turnaround here since sitting out for a couple weeks. If you believe the Texans wanted Bryce Young, everybody, it was almost unanimous that people wanted Bryce Young atop the NFL draft. So that's where we won't know the reality of the tackle position until next April when guys start coming off the board, how the NFL feels about Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, some of these other guys. Do they go in the top 10? Do they not go until, you know, later in the teens? Do they sink to 20s? That'll tell you how teams value them more so than Dane Brugler or Mel Kiper or Todd McShay or any of these draft experts.
Or John Lyons, Andy Hart, John Saraides.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean, usually I'm right. Usually I'm right. Like, when
same.
I tell you
yeah.
Drake May's same. Ready, yeah. Drake May's ready. And then we just forget about the times where I was wrong. I just tell, I'm like a gambler. I show you the
0-17 in play.
0-17 was in play. I stand by that. I stand by 0-17 was always in play. I never predicted them to go 0-17. Now, the problem with me is I believe I predicted 3-14, and they now have 3 wins at this point. They got Drake May.
Oh, so that's why you're rooting for them to lose. It's not the draft pick. It's
no.
the take.
Oh, no, it's the draft
it's
pick.
It's the take.
Because I love the idea of having a top 5 pick, a top 3 pick, the quarterbacks being in play.
I mean, they can win 5 games and still have a top 5 pick, too.
Well, that's where I look at this. There are so many teams in that 2-3 win mix that there is so much football left to be played.
Yeah.
And I also think late in the year, teams start really tanking, other teams, and then good teams maybe wrap up their season. So all of a sudden, you have a game that looks lopsided. You know, Bills, Patriots. But if the Bills are resting, if they have anything wrapped up, or the Chiefs are resting and they have something wrapped up, does that change thing and somebody steals a late win? You just never know how any of that plays out. So it's way too early. I appreciate the people over at Tankathon. I love it. I read the tweet every week at the end of Sunday to see where things stand. But it's way too early to think about it with any, I don't know, credibility or, sure. you know, assuredness. So 617-779-7937. 2 hours down to little over an hour plus to go. Six Rings and Football Things postgame show with John Lyons, Andy Jumbo Hart. We're debating the draft and draft picks, but there is no debating. The Patriots got a nice win today on the road in Chicago over the Bears, 19-3, third win of the season. Drake May made some mistakes, but Drake May made some plays. Certainly the defense made a ton of plays. 9 sacks, tied for second most in franchise history, held the Bears and Caleb Williams to a paltry 69 net passing yards. We're going to get into the defense. We're going to talk about that side of the ball and a certain cornerback who continues to buff up his resume week after week in matchups against supposedly number one receivers in the NFL. Patriots have a number one cornerback. We're going to talk about that right after this.